This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. There is a statement commonly attributed to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم: الدنيا مزرعة الآخرة. The world is the harvesting field for the hereafter. Mullah Ali al-Qari, while commenting on this narration, quoting Imam Sakhawi, says, this narration is not authentically attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allama Sakhawi says, Lam aqif ala al-hadith. I haven't come across the narration. However, then he also states that even though the wording cannot be authentically attributed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the message of the statement is sound and is in reality Quranic, citing the verse of Surah Ash-Shura. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man kana yuridu harthal akhirati nazid lahu fi harthi. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. Whoever wishes for the harvest of the hereafter, we will increase them in that. And whoever wishes for the harvest of this world, we will also give them a portion of it. But there will be no reward for them in the hereafter. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, using that statement of الدُّنْيَا مَزْرَعَةُ الْآخِرَةِ, and he doesn't attribute it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, the scholars, they say, even though in some cases it has been attributed, they view it more of an understanding, a philosophy of how to look at the world. So now, building off of this analogy that is given to us in the Quran, the ulama, they say that one way to look at it is the heart of the human being is like the soil. In this analogy, al-qalbu kal-ardi, the heart of the human being is like the soil. Wal-imanu kal-badari fihi, and iman is like the spreading of seed Badara, Badar, Tabdeer also comes from there, to spread and scatter seed in a land. وَالطَّاعَاتِ جَارِيَ مَجْرَى تَنْقِيَةُ الْأَرْضِ وَتَطْهِيرُ. And doing good deeds is like cleaning the land of its impurities. And حَفْرُ الْأَنْهَارِ وَمَسَاقِ الْمَاءِ إِلَيْهَا. And digging out the canals through which the river can now flow to the land and allowing water to reach there. So the heart is like the soil. The good deeds, iman, is like the spreading of the seeds. Without the iman, there is nothing that can come from there. You can't have fruits without the seeds. This is where it all begins. And then the good deeds are similar to removing the filth on that land and creating the proper passageway for water to reach it. A heart that is drowning in the love of the dunya is like an impure, filthy land. No matter how much seed you pour on it, you cannot grow crops in a wasteland. It just doesn't allow it. The heart is corrupt. You can present it with all the seeds of iman you want. It won't accept that iman. This is why we see that some of the greatest opportunities of iman existed with the people who rejected iman during the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Jahl had the greatest opportunity. He saw it all. He witnessed and interacted with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The purity of the faith was in front of him. Yet he actively chose to refuse it, and this was unfortunately a reflection of the state of his heart. The day of judgment we are told that the day of judgment is Yawm al-Hasad. It's the day of harvesting. You put the seeds in the ground, you reap the reward of your farming, Yawm al-Hasad, on the day of harvesting, and you now gather your crops. And a person has no chance at harvesting fruit unless they properly planted the seeds. So you see how it's all connected? That in order for you to harvest in the hereafter, you need to make sure the environment was right. And then on top of before that, you needed to ensure that the seed was correct. And then before that, you also need to ensure the land is also appropriate. Therefore, the ulama, they say, very rarely will you see iman benefiting people with impure hearts and impure akhlaq, character. Because bad character is a symptom of an impure heart. Bad character is a symptom of an impure heart. And likewise, if a person has a pure heart, the symptom and the side product of that will be, there will be good akhlaq. So now when a person thinks of their affair of the hereafter, this analogy, you understand it? Let's move forward now. A person's affair in the hereafter, and for them to be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, should be similar to that of the farmer's hope of fruit after fulfilling all the prerequisite steps. Today's discussion is about understanding hope and fear. And hope and fear in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the two wings that allow a person to elevate and gain closeness to Allah. When a person has a sifa, a characteristic they try to develop, and that characteristic hasn't properly developed, it's still in its developmental phase. It arrives and it leaves, and it arrives and it leaves. The ulama of tazkiyah refer to this sort of a wasf as a hal. As opposed to when the sifa becomes thabit, when that sifa is thabita, it's firm, it's taken its roots, it's now grounded, they refer to this as a maqam, that now a person has taken a step on a stair that is firm, it's planted. It's one that won't easily leave. How does a raja become a hal and then turn into a maqam? How does a person start engaging with this hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then from there, transfer it into a meaningful existing state. Well, it comes through understanding this analogy. The farmer can only hope for return on their crop if they actually followed the proper steps. Any person that goes to a pure land and spreads on it beautiful seed, healthy seed, and the seed is not spoiled itself, the seed itself is not outdated, expired, and they bring water to that land regularly, they're constantly watering it. They're also ensuring that all thorns and filth and any enemy to the crop is monitored and removed regularly. Then that person sits by the side of their farm on their rocking chair waiting for that fruit to come into existence. This waiting of that person is raja. This is hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama, they write that raja, hope, and khawf. لا يطلق اسم الرجاء والخوف على إلا على ما يتردد فيه فأما ما يقطع به فلا. So hope and fear only exist in that area, in that domain where there is no certainty. If something is certain, then we don't use the word raja and khawf because it's certain that thing is going to happen. But if there's uncertainty, then we use the word raja and khawf. That person did everything. That farmer did everything. Is there a possibility that nothing will come from that ground, from that land? Yes or no? Absolutely, there's a possibility nothing will grow, or the crop will be spoiled, or he'll yield less than what he was hoping for, what he was expecting. So that person sits there on his chair, rocking back and forward, waiting and waiting that hopefully this is accepted. Because at the end of the day, all of our deeds and all the iman and everything we do, all the dhikr, the acceptance is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts it or not, that's for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And we hope to be beneficiaries of that mercy. As for the opposite scenario, if a person went to a land that was filthy and dirty and no water reaches it, the land itself is sitting on a hill. So any water that comes, it just passes by. He doesn't take care of it, doesn't manage it, didn't even properly put the seeds there. And now this person is waiting for their harvest. The waiting of this person is not raja, rather it's humuq, it's foolishness. That waiting is meaningful hope. This waiting of the person is not meaningful. It's foolishness, it's stupidity, because you did not do anything to wait, to be deserving of the fruit that you are hoping to get. To capture this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in one riwayah, one beautiful narration, الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت. An intelligent one is the one who controls himself, who is monitoring himself. وعمل لما بعد الموت. And then works to do deeds that will benefit after death. والعاجز, in the foolish one, من أتبع نفسه هواها, the one that keeps following his desires. Whatever the desires say, just do it. No restraint, no hold back, nothing. But in return, وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِي, this person has great hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to the person that is doing everything that they desire and having a false sense of hope that I'm supposed to be a recipient of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, even though I've done nothing to deserve that mercy, as a foolish person. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to a person who controls their desires and works hard day and night for that harvest, for that akhirah. بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. That they want the hereafter. They understand the hereafter is everlasting. It's permanent. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to that individual as the intelligent one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an tells us of people who had wishful thinking that was not based off of any reality. In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a story, وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الرَّجُلَيْنِ, the story of these two men, and they had an interaction with one another. It's a fascinating story. One of them had a lot of wealth, and the other one had little wealth. The one that had a lot of wealth, he was so boastful and arrogant over what he had. But he didn't do anything for the akhirah. So when arguing with his counterpart, he said to him, وَلَئِن رُدِدْتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِّنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. That even I was so successful in the world that when I see Allah on the Day of Judgment, Allah is going to give me even better than this. I'm a millionaire in the world. Watch what Allah gives me in the hereafter. This is wishful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't quote this person's statement in maqam al-madh. It's more maqam al-dham. It's not in a place of praise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almost highlighting this person's stupidity. Look how foolish this man is. Did nothing for the hereafter. No tahajjud salah, no tilawah of the Quran. Wasn't fasting, didn't hold back from their nafs. Wasn't praying their salah, praying it, not focusing properly, rushing through salah, not doing wudu properly. This person was a hot mess when it came to their ibadah, yet a false sense of arrogance. Right? Where is this coming from? Where is this arrogance coming from that God will give it all to me because I had something in the world? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-A'raf, فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ وَرِثُ الْكِتَابِ يَأْخُذُونَ عَرَضَ هَذَا الْأَدْنَى وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا. The same concept. People who invested themselves in their worldly pleasures and desires while neglecting their akhirah, and yet they have these hopes, وَيَقُولُونَ سَيُغْفَرُ لَنَا, that shortly we will be forgiven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also in the Quran of people who are worthy and deserving of that raja, that hope. He Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Those who believe and perform their migration and fought in the path of Allah, these are people who have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. And that mercy is legitimate because they spent their life fulfilling the covenant of loyalty to Allah Azza wa Jal. The Arab poet says, تَعْصِلْ إِلَهَ وَأَنْتَ تَظْهَرُ حُبَّهُ إِنَّ هَذَا فِي الزَّمَانِ لَا عَجِيبُ. You disobey your Lord and you say that you love Him. This is a very peculiar scenario. لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ. If your love for Him was sincere, you would have obeyed Him. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُطِيعُ. Because the lover is always obedient to the beloved. Obedience is the language of love. Adab is the language of love. This is how a person shows it. Go to any parent and they'll say that you can say to me, you love me all day, but if you disobey me repeatedly and you violate my honor and you don't take me seriously, then what good is your love? A husband will say the same. A wife will say the same. A teacher will say the same. Now, what love are we talking about if it isn't based on loyalty? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the importance of hope. Having good hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of shaitan's tricks. Because hope and fear must coexist. If only one exists, it'll destroy the human being. When a person only focuses on hope and does not take into consideration fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. When we say hope here, we're talking about hope in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for us in terms of reward. This is what Raja stands for. A person looks forward to what Allah azza wa jal has stored for them in the hereafter. Fear represents fearing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stored for the disobedient in the hereafter in terms of punishment. So these two are like the wings of a bird. If only one exists, there isn't flight. If only the other exists, there isn't flight. You need both of them. You need hope and you need fear. Balancing hope and fear is one of the greatest challenges. Shaitan wants one of the two to overcome you, because then his tactics on you become much easier to execute. When a person becomes indulged in just nothing but mercy, that's all they're thinking about, that Allah's rahmah, Allah's rahmah, Allah's rahmah, then they become jari ala ma'asiyah. They become very courageous and they become bold to disobey Allah. We see this in our communities too, that there is no fear of consequences. So people, they disobey Allah, and when they're confronted or they're warned or even reminded softly, whichever approach, their response is, Allah ghafoor, Allah raheem, don't judge me and my relationship with Allah. Now, if don't judge you with your relationship with Allah means that you're on a path of growth and this is a part of that path, then may Allah be with everyone. But if this is just you justifying your actions and copping out of any accountability with those who care and love for you, and they're trying to have a conversation with you, then that's not acceptable. It's not a meaningful statement. We're trying to understand, where are you? Now, that there, and there's a whole procedure and method of involving yourself in other people's life when it comes to encouraging them to do good. So we're assuming that all of that already exists. So the hope part must exist, can't be overwhelming. The fear part also can't overtake you, because if it does, it'll wreck you. Serious mental health issues can gain birth from there. People can lose touch with life, give up on their work, stop taking care of themselves. And likewise, in some cases, it can also take them away from worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're so overwhelmed by that fear that God is going to punish me, He's going to punish me, that if I do one ruku' and it's even a little off posture, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish me. For everything, there is an overwhelming fear. So the balance is in the prophetic example and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One thing that I've noticed is that people struggle in making dua to Allah. And one of the reasons for making that people struggle in making dua to Allah is that that fear, that hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't properly placed. I shared this story in Ramadan. There was a sister who I met in Hajj. We were in Arafah. I saw her sitting on the side. So I said to her, "What are you doing here? Why don't you engage in some ibadah? Everyone's doing ibadah. You're sitting on the corner." She was sitting outside just on a cooler quietly. You have these water coolers outside. She was sitting on one of them and just sitting there, not doing much. So she said to me that, "I don't have the heart to make dua. I feel God has betrayed me. The truth is, I'm sitting in Arafah. I've made so much dua to Allah in my life and He didn't accept my duas. So I'm at crossroads with my Rabb and I'm not able to honestly, genuinely make dua to Allah. I can't. I want to. I paid this money to come here. I was hoping it would change. But I'm sitting here in Arafah, in the most virtuous of days, in the most virtuous of places, and I can't make dua." So I sat with her and we had a conversation. And the truth is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did test her in ways that are just subhanAllah, wow, powerful. But those tests in life don't define who we are. They are an opportunity for us to once again stand up and prove our loyalty to Allah. In life, there are things we control, and then there are things that we don't control. What happens to us in life, we don't control that. How we respond, we control that. So whether it rains at the end of this halaqah outside or not, no one here has any control. When it does rain, what we get to choose that. You can take your shirt off, go outside, get soaked and get sick. Or you can hold an umbrella, go to your car, just sit in the masjid, then wait it out. These are all options. There are other options too. That's your choice. This is where your intelligence will be seen. This is where your wisdom will be seen. Assalamu alaikum, Shaykh. Ahlan. Imam Saeed was gone for Umrah. He just came back, mashallah. Taqabbalallahu minhu. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan was empty without Imam Saeed. We missed you a lot. Alhamdulillah. So we don't control what happens in life. Starting to control or acting as if we control what happens in life is a God-like mindset, and it'll destroy you. You will find very soon that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will prove to you again and again that you are not in control. And the abd, in his humility and humbleness, the servant of Allah in his humility and humbleness, submits to this reality that I'm not in control. That's a part of being an abd. I don't control how my kids respond to me, and I don't control what happens at work, and there are things I do control. I'm going to work hard there. This is where hope comes in, that I'm going to do the best I can what I can do. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting our du'as and not accepting them, this is where we have to have trust. This is where tawakkul comes in. Tawakkul is knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us what He has destined out of our control. Our response is to do our best And tawakkul is to know that Allah heard you and then will take care of what's next. That's tawakkul. So whether you have a child today or not, whether you're terminally ill or not, tawakkul is knowing that Allah put me in this situation, I gave it my best. So now I'm just going to trust Allah. Whether it ends one way or another, that's my reliance on Allah. I was reading the ayat of the Quran that everyone commonly quotes regarding tawakkul. You guys know which ayah I'm talking about? Which one? Yeah, read the ayah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Whoever relies on Allah, Allah will suffice that person. He gave away my short reflection. Anyone know the context of those verses? It's divorce. Because when a lady is divorced, she feels very lonely and sad. And not just a lady, anyone. When you go through marital breakdown, that might just be rock bottom. A person is really sad. And then the mas'ala of wafat al-zawj comes, and then Allah brings it there again. The mas'ala of taqwa. So first is the mas'ala of talaq, the issue of divorce, and then the issue of the husband dying comes in. In both cases, there's loneliness there. There's sorrow there. There's grief there. Ask someone who has come out of a relationship or almost got into a relationship and things didn't work out. Talk to someone who tried multiple times to enter into a relationship and each time it doesn't work. And every time it doesn't work, there is another whisper of shaitan. The same thing happens with work as well. Outside of the context of marriage, you apply for a job, you try once, you try second, try third, and you keep failing. Or university applications. Think of it in any dynamic that you'd like where it fits you, and you keep trying to have a child. You're trying, and it's not happening, and it's not happening. And then at some point, every time you fail a little bit, or you don't, when I say fail, I mean you don't achieve the intended goal, shaitan comes with a little whisper. You suck. You're not worthy. Look at that person over there. They're holding a child. Look how much God loves them. God could give them, He could have given you, He didn't give you. The only logical reason is because you really suck. So you shake it off, no. But then shaitan comes again, and he comes again, and he comes again. And this is where tawakkul comes in. That you hold on to that rope and say, you can whisper all you want, but I've learned to grow beyond your whispers. No whisper of shaitan can hold me down because my trust is in Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ. Allah is saying, trust me and just believe in me and I will take care of it all. I think one of my favorite stories when it comes to this issue of trust and hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is another qissa that we covered in Ramadan, Abu Qilaba al-Jirmis, if you remember, where it's an interesting narration. This person, he was a soldier. He said, I was patrolling the coastal area of Egypt. I shared this qissa, by the way, in the Ramadan series that we just did. If anyone wants to hear the whole story, you should go there. I read the narration and I tried to cover it in as much as detail as possible. The summary of the story is that there is a soldier who says, I was, you know, patrolling the Muslim frontier in Egypt. And while I was there, I saw that in the sand dunes, there was a tent. So I went close to the tent to see what was there, and I noticed there was a guy in the tent. And the guy was an amputee. His arms and legs were chopped off. He was lying there. But he was whispering something. So I got a little close to whisper, to hear him. And the guy was saying, he was praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the many blessings and bounties of Allah on him. The guy was blind. His arms and legs were amputated. He couldn't hear properly. And the guy was praising Allah. So this guy, who is identified in the riwayah as Abdullah, he says that I said to the person, Assalamu alaikum, introduced himself. And then he said to him, buddy, what exactly are you praising Allah for? Like, look how miserable you are. He didn't say that, but you know. So that person said that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the sky to strike a bolt of lightning at me, I'd be worthy of it. If Allah commanded the earth to swallow me, I was worthy of it. If Allah commanded the ocean to drown me, I was worthy of it. However, I continue to thank Allah because even though He took everything away, He gave me the tongue, and through this tongue, I can do dhikr and shukr of Allah. I have everything I need in this dunya. مَزْدَدْتُ لِرَبِّي إِلَّا شُكْرًا. The guy was blown away. So the old man said to him, I need a favor. I have a son who takes care of me, he feeds me, washes me. He hasn't come home in a few days, go look for him. So he said, okay. So he went to look for him. And he found a man by that description the old man gave him, lying in between the dunes. His body had been torn apart by animals. He was like, how do I go back and tell this guy? So he went back anyway. He said, Assalamu alaikum. He starts off his conversation by saying, do you know of Ayyub alayhi salam? The guy said, yes. He said, Anta akram ala Allahi am Ayyub al Nabi? Who was more honorable to Allah, you or Ayyub? He said, Ayyub alayhi salam. He said, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala test him and his family and wealth? He said, yes. Kayfa wajadahu? When Allah tested him, what was his response? He said, wajadahu shakiran, abidan dhakira. He was in a state of gratitude and obedience to Allah. So then he said to him that, you know, that son of yours that you told me to look for, he's dead. So he began to cry and he said, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah that Allah did not give me a child who was a kafir. He was a Muslim. And he loved me in a way that was appropriate for him and he took care of me. So I'm pleased with him and I'm happy. I'm okay. And then a few moments later, he let out a loud shahiqa shahqatan, loud sound, like a shriek. And he died. So this soldier is just like, man, what a day. This guy's dead too. He was so heartbroken. He took the guy's body, wrapped him up in a sheet, took him outside on the road. He sat there next to the body and he was just crying. This guy was just crying and crying. Four people were passing by the road. They saw this man. They said, what's going on? He said, well, this guy died going through a lot right now. I need to bury him, but I just need to catch myself. They said, would you mind if we take a look? They said, yes. So they removed the sheet and they saw his face and all four of them dived onto the body and began to kiss his forehead. And they said, these were eyes that spent their night awake in obedience of Allah. This is a man that did not disobey Allah. He said to the people, do you know who he is? They said, yes. هَذَا أَبُو قِلَابَ الْجُرْمِ صَاحِبُ ابْنَ عَبَّاسِ. This is a student of Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنه. He was a lover of Abdullah bin Abbas رضي الله عنه, narrator of Hadith Abu Qilaba al-Jurmi. Now when you look at this riwayah, you see a man who, this is tawakkul right here. And it's an extreme case of tawakkul, but it's tawakkul. This is what it looks like. You want to know what heavy lifters look like? People watch YouTube videos to see how much the heaviest lift is. Is that right? People watch YouTube videos to see what's the most daring jump. So the guy's jumping off Burj Khalifa. People see what's the most daring and, you know, okay, what's the most daring bike ride, mountain biking thing. So they have those Red Bull videos where the guys, there's a whole video dedicated to these people. I think people are awesome, people are good, something like this, where they bring all the weirdest and craziest things that people have done. You want to know what spiritual heavy lifters look like? Go and read the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam. That's the playlist for you. That's the playlist of the spiritual heavy lifters. Their accomplishments, not physical, spiritual. Their reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was unwavering. This lady, may Allah reward her. What I said made sense to her. And she started making dua and she cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. And it was a joy in just seeing her being able to make that dua. And one thing that became clear to me is there are many people in this world that are smothered in that pain and aren't able to make dua to Allah. Who do we tell? How do we speak of it? People will doubt us in our iman. Pain is buried away. The loneliness is real. But that's where the Quran speaks to you. Udu'uni astajib lakum. You can't talk to anyone, just talk to me. You're in pain, talk to me. Yaqub alayhi salam, innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. He's making dua for at the departure. He's still talking to Allah about the disappearance of his son decades later. I mean, the son was quite awesome too. good-looking, spiritual, righteous man, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Inni la ajidu riha Yusuf. Ah, I can still smell my son. He's not far away. Lawla an tufannidun. قالوا تالله إنك لفي فلما أن جاء البشير ألقاه على وجهه فارتد بصيرا. Earlier today, one of the students asked in the Q&A that what's a moment that you would like to go back to in time to witness if you had a time machine. You guys said that we weren't allowed to use anything or reference a moment in history related to the prophets, but if I wasn't given that stipulation, I would have probably said this. I would have loved to go back in time and look at فَلَمَّا أَن جَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. I'd love to see that. And then Yaqub alayhi salam. You guys know what that means? That when the person with glad tidings came to Yaqub alayhi salam, he took a garment of Yusuf alayhi salam and put it on Yaqub alayhi salam's face and his eyesight returned. That's a moment worth seeing. And his smile. You know that statement, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ is his end result of tawakkul. That I never gave up hope on Allah. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْأَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا وَقَالَ يَا أَبَتِ هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ is the tawakkul of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. That when they arrive in Egypt and now they're on their thrones and Yusuf alayhi salam sees the 11 stars and the sun and the moon all in front of him, and he says, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ قَدْ جَعَلَهَا رَبِّي حَقًّا. Allah always fulfills his promise. It's all true. Your story will only be known once it plays out. And your story doesn't end today. It doesn't end with yesterday's pain. It continues. And every day there's a new lesson that comes to you that is necessary for you because Allah is preparing you for your greatness. The atheist claims that if God doesn't give me now, I'm going to throw a tantrum and stop believing in him. Like a kid throwing a tantrum at Walmart when the parents refuse to buy them candy. This is the example of the atheist. Mama, I don't love you anymore. Mama, you don't love me. If you do love me, you have to buy me Airheads. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, okay, buddy, why don't you stay in the car? Stay in the cart. Let me get you to the car and get you safe where you actually need to go. You actually don't love me, mama. You don't love me. And Allah is saying, okay, buddies, hold my hand. You can say all you want that I don't love you. My love won't stop for you. I created you. I gave you iman. All your friends at school can tell you that your mom and dad hate you. All they want to. Those people are not going to be there after you die. Your mom's going to be at your grave every week. Your Rabb is going to be with you at the time of your death and what's beyond that. All the other people, they'll disappear. Cease to exist. In this regard, one of the most powerful ayat in the Quran. قال الله تعالى كل من عليها فان. Everyone upon it shall perish. They'll all disappear. All the sounds, all the thoughts, all the ideas, all the inspirational, motivational speakers, all kullu man 'alayha fan. Just nothing. وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. But Allah. Nothing but Allah. La ilaha illallah. That's the haqiqah of all of the human life and existence in one statement. كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ وَيَبَقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ لَا إِلَهَ and then إِلَّا اللَّهُ. There is no God. There is no existence. There is no permanence. إِلَّا اللَّهُ but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to help us develop the correct perspective about our Rabb, he taught us that Allah azza wa jal says, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي. I am to my servant as my servant perceives me. وَأَنَا مَعَهُ إِذَا ذَكَرَنِي and every time he remembers me, I'm with him. فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. If he remembers me in his heart, I remember him in mine. وَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرًا مِنْ. And if he remembers me in a gathering, I remember him in a gathering way better than whoever it is that you're sitting with these days. You can't outperform Allah in anything, let alone in the journey of love. You can't be more loyal than Allah. You can't be more kind than Allah. It's impossible that a person has hope in Allah and Allah Azza wa Jal turns that person away. This is mahal, غير ممكن. Similarly, in the riwayah of Sahih Muslim, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this riwayah is narrated from the Prophet of Allah just days before he passed away. لا يموتن أحدكم إلا وهو يحسن الظن بالله عز وجل. Death should not approach you, should not come to you until you have fixed your affairs with Allah. Until you're in the right frame of mind. That Ya Allah, all those days, and even for a single second, I doubted you, that was the biggest mistake of my existence. I'm sorry. Never allow me to doubt you again. Never put me in a place where I'm in two thoughts of you. Ya Allah, I love you. And that is the truth. لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. ربنا لا تحمل علينا إصرا كما ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به. واعف عنا. Forgive us. واغفر لنا. Pardon us. وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Ask Allah for forgiveness for those moments and beg for Him to allow Iman to be firm in your heart. If you aren't able to balance Allah's mercy in your heart properly and allow it to take its roots, you cannot reach muhabbah. You can't reach love. You can't have a relationship just based off of fear. It doesn't exist. It's torture, it's abuse, and you're doing it to yourself. It's because Allah's mercy is there, you're just refusing to acknowledge it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us that وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ Your Rabb will never do wrong to you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, there is no sin of yours that is beyond your Allah. يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ So this here, my friends, is the discussion that I wanted to have today on hope. Make dua to Allah every day that He blesses you with meaningful hope. Remember that hope, raja, only carries any weight if it is preceded by the correct means that make you worthy of Allah's rahmah. The analogy we gave is like the farmer who fulfilled all the tasks on the checklist and now is just waiting for the harvest to come in. This is raja. That waiting of that person after doing everything, that's raja, that's hope. You can't be negative. Otherwise, if you're just negative, that nothing's going to come out of it. If a person is in fear that they're going to fail before they even start their business, will they be able to do tijara? Yes or no? No, they can't do tijara. You have to have hope. You have to have ambition. You have to believe. But I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. But it can't be wishful. Your financial model can't just be flawed and then you're hoping to become a millionaire. That won't work either. Don't let khawf overcome you. And similarly, likewise, don't let shaitan whisper any thought into your mind that your Lord has abandoned you. For Allah Azza wa Jalla says to the Prophet of Allah, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى Your Lord has not abandoned you. وَمَا قَلَى أَيْ مَا غَضِبَ And neither is your Lord angry at you. Ya Allah, then why are you testing me? وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى Your reward will be seen on the day of harvesting. Just wait. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى Your Lord will give you in such portions, in such a handsome, beautiful way that it will please you. You are a survivor. This is not your first challenge in life. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى Every time you're tested in life, you have to remember that your Allah was there for you. And giving up on Allah, first of all, that's not even a possibility, but it's not even an option. Where are you going to go? Astaghfirullah. I mean, the thought is just horrific. Where would we go? Turn back to ourselves? Look at the human world and see how that's landed people. Go to another God? Astaghfirullah. I'm just saying it. Right? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا ذُبَابًا You want to go to another God? What are they going to do? They can't even make a fly. Forget one God. If all the gods that claim to be God, that people have attributed any divinity towards, if they all gather together, forget about creating the sophisticated world we're in. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, لَنْ يَخْلُقُوا They couldn't make one fly. And then Allah ups the challenge even further. وَإِن يَسْلُبْهُمُ الذُّبَابُ شَيْئًا لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْ Forget about creating the fly. If the fly were to take one thing from them, they are not capable of even taking it back or even preventing that from happening. لَا يَسْتَنْقِذُهُ مِنْ ضَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ The seeker and the one being sought are both weak in this equation. The better equation, مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَقَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ The better equation is connect yourself to Allah. And a sign of your growth in spirituality and how you know that your khawf and raja are balanced and are going from being a hal to now becoming a maqam and that the flight is beginning is that you stop focusing on outcomes. You don't focus on that. You just focus on what you can do. So the believer then finds themselves in an easy scenario. When you stop focusing on outcomes and start focusing on what you can do, then you begin to realize that there are easy things. Sabr, shukr, dhikr, aur kya hai? Khana peena. What's left? When the time is right, you're patient. When the time is right, you do a lot of shukr. While expressing your sabr and shukr, you engage in the words of adhkar, dhikr, and then eat and drink and enjoy yourself. There's nothing left in the world. Now, if you look at it from this lens, things don't seem as complicated. They become simple. The mind of the human being is throwing you in 100 scenarios, a million different scenarios. You can get obsessed with the scenarios and get lost in those scenarios, or you can understand times are good, times are easy. Times are difficult. Times are good, shukr. How do I do shukr? Dhikr of Allah. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي أَفَلَا أَكُنَ عَبْدًا شُكُورًا Remember, pray, establish salah for my remembrance. The Prophet of Allah was asked, why do you pray salah? He said, to be grateful to Allah. There you go. And then, on the other hand, in times of difficulty, I have to do sabr. How do I do sabr? إِسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي Seek assistance from Allah, إِسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ with patience, وَالصَّلَاةِ and through prayer. And again, I just told you, why is salah established? For the remembrance of Allah. Your circle's done. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi is a genius. Obviously, stating the obvious here. In the Ihya, before the chapter of Khawf and Raja, before he engages in the chapter of Khawf and Raja, the chapter right before it is on Sabr and Shukr. So eloquent. So appropriate that if you figure out sabr and shukr, khawf and raja will become very easy. And then after khawf and raja, he then leads towards the end of his book. And it's a beautiful, beautiful piece. Khair, with that, we'll conclude. It's almost salah time. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept and grant us tawfiq to the amal upon what we learn. May He bless us with these wings and allow us to attain flight. May He draw us in near and never allow us to be skeptical. Allow our hearts to always be loyal. Teach us reliance. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from those dark moments of shak. May He bless us with eternal yaqeen. And may that yaqeen be with us in our moments of difficulty and our moments of joy. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Any questions? I can take a question or two.